Good afternoon. First of all, I'd like to thank Principal Murphy for inviting me to speak to you today on this very important occasion. And I would like to also thank Commander Beck for coordinating my visit. And in particular, I would like to thank Ms. Lana Thomas, a lady who I admire very, very much. I met her approximately 13 years ago at Augusta University, then called Augusta State University, where she would bring her children to do their homework. And I worked in the department that assisted in getting students set up on the computers. And while they were often working on the computers, I would chat with Mrs. Thomas, and we got to become very good friends, and I really say thank you for arranging this. My talk today is going to be about my great-grandfather, the Honorable Booker T. Washington. I want to share a few thoughts about him because I think it's important that all Americans understand that Booker T. Washington was the first African American to be inducted into the American Hall of Fame. I didn't say African American Hall of Fame, but the American Hall of Fame. And this is significant because the leaders of America recognize that this man who had been prohibited from learning how to read or write as a child, when millions of children were going to schools, had determined in his mind that one day he was going to overcome that liability and turned it into a great asset. And as a result, he founded a college that produced teachers that went into the South particularly and elevated the education of millions of African Americans. The Honorable Dr. Booker T. Washington had a high ideal in his mind when he founded the Tuskegee Institute in Alabama in 1881. He wanted freedom, justice, and equality for African Americans. He did not believe that the previous condition of enslavement of African Americans should make African Americans see ourselves as unqualified by nature to possess everything of value that others had acquired. He admired the values of the most prestigious colleges of the Northeast. At the same time, he believed that for the newly freed African Americans, the key to being recognized as being of value to the American society was through industrial education. He knew that a way had to be found to create black captains of industry. You've heard of Rockefeller and Carnegie and Ford, but Booker T. Washington felt that they should be joined by African Americans that founded great industries. Thus, although he taught his students to observe the same moral codes, to be trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. And I'll pause right here and ask, are any of you in here familiar with those words as part of a code of honor? Are any of you Boy Scouts? So you would have learned, as I learned, that these are essential characteristics of any successful person. And Booker T. Washington, though he wasn't a Boy Scout, he imparted these values into every single student that he taught. He said that we shall prosper as a people, and this just doesn't apply to African Americans, but it applies to everyone. In fact, some of his students were European Americans, some of his students were Asian Americans, some of his students were Native Americans, and of course, he also focused on helping uplift the African Americans. But he taught all of his students that we shall prosper in proportion as we learn to dignify and glorify common labor and put brains and skills into the common occupations of life. And he made a point to let the African Americans know that whatever work you choose to do, you should try to make it as perfected as you can. And this is how you will establish not only honor among your community, but honor in the world. This is how you go about being invited into social equality, by being recognized as being the best in your trade, the best in your profession, the best contributor to the wealth of your community. He made a point by saying in one of his speeches, talking about one of the common traits that African-American women had during slavery, which was to take care of the laundry. He said, without industrial education, when the black woman washes a shirt, she washes it with both hands, and she washes it with both feet, and her whole body is into the hard labor of washing a shirt. But a person that has industrial education will develop a machine that will do all of this hard labor and use electricity and steam and water power to do the work that formerly the muscles had to be used to do. That was his whole point, that the people who had been the workers in slavery could now become the workers after slavery, but could own the industries and develop even more perfected ways to do things. But Booker T. Washington warned his students not to develop habits that would take away from their honorable character. Now, one of the things that he stressed was that he said that the students, when they left school, should try to stay away from gambling. And the kind of gambling that he really pointed out was playing cards, because he said that people that gamble and play cards tend to stay away from their families. They tend to fall in with unreputable people, and they tend to eventually become financially unstable because they get in these games and they throw away their money on chances. He also believed this. He believed that whatever your definition of the supreme power is in the universe, that you should combine that spirit with a practical application of that love for a higher power so that you can help humanity. That you should go into some type of industry or some type of business so that people can benefit from what you have learned and what you are able to do. And I make a very important point of this, because I will say this, and this is something that's not in the script, as we say, but I remember when I was your age, I went to a military school, and this is one reason why I really admire your cadet or midshipman officers, because I was a cadet officer myself. But along with the military education and training, and along with the academic training that qualified me to be accepted into Yale and Princeton universities, and I didn't apply to Harvard, I don't know why, my scores would have gotten me in, I'm sure. But the fact is that I was also taught to be an electrical technician. I was also taught to be a communications technician, because in our school, not only did we learn the topics and subjects that would make us excel in the colleges and universities, and of course, I have been successful in my academic life, as I was introduced. You heard him say that I've earned several degrees, and I'm not finished yet. In fact, my real goal is to earn my doctorate degree in history from Yale University, one of the schools to which I was accepted after I graduated from high school. But the fact is that I also learned how to do something with my hands, and this was the foundation of my 24-year military career in the Navy. I was a chief information systems technician, and I learned not only how to repair computers, but also how to manage computer networks that scan the whole globe. And so I'm just saying that whatever we learn how to do, we should learn how to do it as well as we can, and then use that knowledge to be able to uplift others at home and abroad. As we get to the end of our talk, in fact, I think I've already gotten close to the end, I just want to say this. The Honorable Booker T. Washington was truly a leader for all people, regardless of race, regardless of religion, or national origin. In fact, I remember speaking on C-SPAN. C-SPAN, as you all know, is a network, communications television network that goes all over the world. In fact, I was told by the producer of that show that 60 million people heard me when I spoke that day in 2001 from the home of Booker T. Washington on a special program. And in that office, his home office, there was an elaborately carved desk, as large as any desk I've ever seen, as large as the desk that the President of the United States sits at. And it was elaborately carved by Chinese artisans. And it was given to Booker T. Washington as a reward, or we would say as a special thank you gift, because Booker T. Washington was training Chinese students at Tuskegee so they could go back to China and uplift their people. So he wasn't narrow-minded at all. His heart was open to all people. And that's very important. And as I conclude, let me say this to all of you. And carry this forth with you as you go from here after you have left today and after you have left to go into the world, to go into college. Remember what I say. If you don't remember anything else, remember this. A man or a woman is not free when he or she is compelled for any reason to hate this man or this woman and to love this man and that one simply because of some difference in the tincture, the color of their skin, or the particular or peculiar shape of the nose or curl of the hair. That's limiting our freedom when we have to make decisions about people just because of these surface differences without even giving them a chance to show what's in the heart. He said, there are thousands of white men and black men too in America whom I want to set free. I want to help make them free to love the world of humanity. Show me a man, and I'll add, show me a woman that dislikes another person, another human being on account of his race or color, and I will show you a man or woman who is weak, who is holding back his or her own growth, his or her own development, who is repressing and cramping the best that is in him or her. So he said, let the soul loose. Do not make it a slave. Let it grow. No one can realize the happiness that comes from such growth out of race narrowness into a love of humanity until he or she has tried that experiment on himself or herself. So let me conclude with these words. For you who are African Americans, and this is African American or Black History Month, I'm saying this particularly to you, but I want everyone to share in this. Because even though I'm going to use the word black because of Black History Month, whatever your ethnicity is, you should be proud of it. You should be proud of it, whatever it is. When I look at myself in the mirror, I see my English ancestors that gave me my blue eyes. I see my French ancestors that gave me my special features, which some people call gentlemanly. I see my African ancestors that gave me the curl of my hair and the structure of my frame. I see my Native American ancestors that gave me the little special bend in my nose. But Booker T. Washington said, as we conclude, he said, I am proud that I am a black man. And you should be proud if you are a black man, if you're a white man, if you're a Chinese man, if you're an Indian man or a woman. He said that freedom in its largest and broadest sense, freedom can never be a bequest, it must be a conquest. And we must all understand this. And I've shared this with you today from Booker T. Washington. Go out into the world when you leave here and offer it something, something to demonstrate what your forefathers did, what your English forefathers did, what your German and Polish and French and African American or American Indian forefathers did, or Chinese or Japanese forefathers did, or Italian forefathers did, or wherever your forefathers came from, do something to make them proud of you. Do something to make all of them look up to you. Go out into the sunlight of the universe of humanity and be proud and say, as I say to all of my students, as I speak all over America, you are the future of the world. And for you, my young brothers and sisters, and that includes every single one of you, every one of you, no matter where your ancestors came from, you are my American. This is the flag of America. You are my American brothers and sisters as one humanity here on the greatest, in the greatest nation on earth. And so I say to you, no dream is too small and no challenge is too great. God bless you. Thank you very much.